When Suni Tarapurvala studied at Harvard, she found she constantly had to explain herself.
This used to be the typical conversation. Where are you from? India. But you don't look Indian. I am Indian. Are you Hindu? No. Muslim? No. Christian? No. Jain? No. I'm a Parsi. I'm a Zoroastrian.
Parsis are a small religious sect on the brink of extinction, and explaining them through photography is Tarapurvala's passion. You may know Tarapurvala from the big screen. She wrote the screenplays for Salaam Bombay and Mississippi Masala. Both won awards. Now she has a photo album called Parsis, the Zoroastrians of India. We reached Suni Tarapurvala in Bombay a few weeks ago. She explained what she hopes to convey with the photo album.
I wanted to do two things with this book. I wanted to convey the Parsi story in pictures and words. I made it for my children and other children of their generation as a document, to show them that this is what we were like at this point in our history. And I also wanted to provide non-Parsis with a glimpse into a world they'd never seen before. Parsis have always been very exclusive about their religious ceremonies. Fire temples only allow entry to Parsis. People who are not Parsis don't get to see this aspect of the community. But more than anything else, I wanted to spark an interest in Zarathustra because he revealed a way of life that is, to me at least, increasingly relevant in the world today.
And this is the founder of the religion?
This is the prophet, yes, who founded the religion more than 3,000 years ago and was the world's first monotheistic prophet. A lot of religions, most of the major religions, were greatly influenced by his teachings, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, even Buddhism. But our religion sort of went into obscurity while the other religions prospered. And what he preached was a reverence for the natural elements and a religion that was based on freedom of choice and responsibility for one's own actions. And if one were to sum up the religion, it would be the phrase, good words, good thoughts, good deeds, which is the foundation of the religion.
Tell me how Zoroastrians first came to India.
We left Iran when the Arabs conquered Iran in 632 AD. A small group of Zoroastrians left from the port of Hormuz and came in a small boat and landed on the west coast of Gujarat. I don't know whether they knew where they were going or they just took off, and with a prayer and, God's mercy. But we did manage to land in Gujarat, where we met a Hindu king called Jadav Rana, who was very alarmed at the sight of these strangers and asked them who they were and where they had come from. The priest asked for a bowl of milk and asked for a spoonful of sugar. And he put the sugar in the milk and said, just like the sugar sweetens the milk but does not make it overflow, we will be like that in your country. We will sweeten the country, but we will not harm it in any way. And so we were allowed to settle in India. And there were a few conditions: that we would not proselytize. We would give up our Persian language and speak the local language. So we gave up a lot of our Persian culture when we came here. But the only thing that we did not give up was our religion.
One of the pictures in the book, it's page 73. It shows a Parsi family standing near the seacoast in Bombay during a religious festival. Can you tell me about the festival and what this photo tells about the Parsi's place in Indian society?
It's Ava Yazat Parab, which is the day of prayers to Ava, the divinity who presides over water. She's a female divinity. This family had come to the sea to pray on the day and the month of Ava, who is the divinity who presides over water. And the people lining the wall looking at them are not Parsis, but in India, there's a lot of what we call time pass, which is people just pass the time by watching things. And so they were watching the Parsis enact this particular religious festival, which involves praying to the sea and then throwing coconuts and flowers into the sea.
The cover of your book is this beautiful picture. It's a man in a sola hat. You took it, I believe, in 1985. Mm-hmm. It's his back. He's looking out to sea, and he's holding an umbrella. What prompted you to take this picture, and what does it represent for you?
This picture was also taken on the day when Parsis come to pray to the sea. It was taken early in the morning. I don't know what prompted me to take it, but it's been my top of the pops. It's been greatly appreciated. People, it evokes something in people who don't even know anything about Parsis. I think it's just his what he's wearing. He's wearing a pith helmet, what we call a solar topi. He's wearing a jacket that is a bit too tight for him around the waist, and he's wearing pants again that are sort of tight and they're frayed at the edges. There's something very sad and sweet about that photograph. And for all these years, I never knew who this gentleman was. And then on Monday, a most incredible thing happened. I got a phone call just 2 days ago from somebody who had tracked me down in weird and wonderful ways and had actually found me. And he asked me, he said, "You know that photograph, where did you find it?" And I said, "I took it." And he said, "That's my father." And apparently the gentleman is alive. He's 98 years old. And his name is Nariman Adesha Moghrelia. And I'm going to see him on Saturday. It's just one of those great things that happened to me.
Americans may know the conductor Zubin Mehta is a
Yes.
Parsi. You have a section in here on prominent Parsis, legends in arts and business. Tell us about their contribution in Indian society.
I think the Parsi contribution to Indian society has been out of proportion to our numerical insignificance. Today we are some 0.5% of 1% of Bombay's population and some 0.00000025% of India's population. But in spite of that, Parsis have in all endeavors, in all fields, industrialization, Jamshedji Tata brought India into the industrial age, and his successor, JRD Tata, started Air India. The cotton mills, the newspaper presses, in every aspect, Parsis have been, sort of pioneers.
As you've explained, Zoroastrians once lived in Persia, and they fled to escape conversion to Islam. What do you think is the future of Parsis in India?
Well, that's a difficult one to answer. I can be optimistic and say that, it's a great future and we will, thrive and prosper. But the problem is numbers. The recent census report says that we are only about 69,000 in India, and the figure is going down. Our birth rate is much less than our death rate, and it's divided the community bitterly. How to deal with this problem. There are those of us who say that we should allow conversions, and especially we should allow children who have Parsi mothers and non-Parsi fathers to be Parsi and Zoroastrian. But there are others who say that, conversion is not allowed and we should just carry on as we have been doing. What is going to happen to the community, I really don't know. I'd like to be optimistic and say that everything will turn out all right. I hope it does.
Sunita Porvala's new photo album is called Parsis, the Zoroastrians of India. She joined me from the studios of the BBC in Bombay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jenny.
You can find a gallery of Sunita Porvala's photos and her introduction to Parsis at npr.org.